So at the end of Parshas Ki Tetze, there's a pasuk. I'm sorry, I say Ki Tetze. My head is already in the mitzvah Mechias HaMolek, which we're going to talk about later tonight. In the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, there's a pasuk that's very telling because it almost summarizes everything that came before it for two whole parshios. What was the theme of last week's parsha of Truma and this week's parsha, the Mishkan, right? So at the end of this whole story about the Mishkan, with all its complexities and details, the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following, V'yedu ki ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim l'shachni b'socham. Please underline those two words, l'shachni b'socham. By the way, I have one more copy here. I don't know, did you even get one? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So what's l'shachni b'socham, which literally means I want to rest my presence amongst you, ani Hashem Elokeichem. So Rashi, and the Ramban quotes Rashi, he says, Almanas lishkon b'socham. Now, there's going to be a tremendous machlokus here, how to understand Rashi. Let me begin with what I think is the simple, straightforward reading of Rashi. And we'll see why the Ramban objects to Rashi based on his understanding of Rashi. But there's another way of explaining Rashi. God says, I take you out of Egypt. Almanas. What does almanas mean? On the condition that, l'shachni b'socham. Means, if there's no l'shachni b'socham, if there's no Mishkan, then there's no Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban objects to Rashi, not because of any sort of philosophical or conceptual argument, but because of a linguistic problem. It's an issue in grammar. Says the Ramban, v'shimush halamid b'tnai kazeh eino nimtza. He says you will never find a lamid as a prefix to a word which will indicate a condition. There are other ways the Torah could indicate a condition, like im, for example, but not with a lamed, not lishachni. Lishachni is not to be interpreted as on the condition that. If you take a look at footnote number 2, one of the super commentaries on Rashi is the Gur Aryeh. Does anybody here know who authored the Gur Aryeh? He's much more famous for... Excellent, Maharal Miprah. And the Gur Aryeh, by the way, was sort of out of vogue for a long time. It's now very heavy into vogue. There's a fellow that I happen to know very well, his name is Rabbi Hartman, and he has published a new edition of the Gur Aryeh with footnotes, and it's a whole massive project that he took on. In any event, the Gur Aryeh reinterprets Rashi. Take a look at the language of the Gur Aryeh. He says, Pirush, ki ein ha-hotza b'shvil sheyishkon b'socham. Don't misinterpret it as meaning that I took you out of Egypt so that I would reside on, in your tabernacle. Dehahotza liatzma hoisa. How would you translate the la'atzma? It's independent. It's meaningful in and of itself. It's not a means to an end. It's not like, well, we have to redeem you from slavery in order for you to set up this Mishkan and the Shekhinah will reside. No. Liatzmai. Hotziya osam, because God loves the Jewish people, He redeems them, spares them from slavery and oppression. So what does Rashi mean? Hotziya osam al manas lishkom besokom. Says the Gurari, Klomash Gam Ze Yasalahem. What does Gam Ze mean? It's, I did something great for you up until this point. What did I do for you, says God, that was great? I took you out of Mitzrayim, but now I'm going to do something great on top of it all. I don't know if it's greater, but at least another great thing. And what's that? I'm going to reside amongst you. Dashros Ashkina. Gam Ze Yasalahem. Sheishkom Besokha. Zel Tosefis Tova Sheyasalahem. And the next paragraph, the Gurai points out that the Ramban's question on Rashi, because we don't find Lamed as a prefix meaning Almanas, says the Gurai, that's not what Rashi meant. What Rashi meant is, although he does use the term Almanas, What he meant, lafuki, is that don't think it means that the purpose and the goal, the ontological goal of Hotzav, Yitzis Mitzrayim, was lishkom b'socho. Says Rashi, that's not so. It's almanas, meaning I had an interest in giving you and bestowing upon you an additional chesed, an additional tova of being shochet my shechina on your mishkan. In the next paragraph, the Ramban suggests his own pshat. You know, so far he's only been destructive. What about something constructive? He says, and this is a fascinating idea. He says, "V'itochen sheyomar." It could possibly be that what Hashem is saying here is that v'yedu b'shochni b'socham ki ani Hashem Elokeichem asher otzisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim. That what it means is, when it says in the Torah, L'shachni b'socham, is that now they will appreciate who took them out of Mitzrayim. They will know that it was I, Almighty God, who took them out of Mitzrayim. How will they know it? Because they'll get some sort of intimate relationship with the Shekhinah in the Mishkan. By the way, what does the Ramban imply?
That before
they didn't know it was Almighty God, that's a pellet, right? Because, you know, all the psukim that says, Man yedu dor seichelam atasafir b'yaz lebincha, you know, there's so many psukim that talk about Yitzis Mitzrayim. In fact, the Ramban himself at the end of Bo says that Yitzis Mitzrayim is the yesodos of all our belief. Every one of the tenets of the faith is proven and demonstrated by Yitzis Mitzrayim. And now all of a sudden he turns around and he says, no, they really don't know that it was me who took them out of Mitzrayim. Ki yedu kvodi v'aminu sha'ani otzeisi osam eretz Mitzrayim. Now that l'shochni b'socham, it'll be the tabernacle with Ashos HaShchinah, now they'll believe that I took them out of Mitzrayim. And he gives some examples from Tanakh. So that's the Ramban's suggestion. And now he gives a third interpretation of the pasuk in the name of the Ibn Ezra. Oddly enough, he agrees with the Ibn Ezra. That's kind of rare. Aval Rabbeinu Avram Omar ki lo hotzeisi osam eretz Mitzrayim rak ba'avur ki eshkon b'socham. Meaning, the goal and the purpose of Yitzis Mitzrayim is the Shechina. The Shechina b'socham. So it's interesting. Although the concept exists inherent in Rashi the way the Ramban understood Rashi, but as I said before, the Ramban's objection against Rashi was grammatical, was structural. Here, the Rabbi Avram has solved that problem by saying that L'shachni indicates that this is the ultimate goal. It's not an Albanas situation. Now we accept the conceptual framework as Rashi presented it the way the Ramban understood Rashi, that the goal of Yitzis Mitzrayim is not in and of itself, but for the sake of the Shechinah. And Ibn Ezra quotes a pasuk back in the snare. You remember what happens in the snare? When Moshe Rabbeinu hears from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tavdun es Elokim al haharas there. I'm going to take your people out of Mitzrayim in order that they should serve Almighty God on this mountain. So too, the Shechinah becomes part and parcel of this whole package. V'yofepiru. So you have now only, not only an Ibn Ezra, but you have the Ramban's agreement with the Ibn Ezra. But look at the next line in the Ramban. Here's where I want you to really, if you haven't been paying attention, this is going to be mind-boggling. The Ramban says, "V'im kein, if this interpretation of the Avram should be accepted, which Ramban is voting in favor of, yesh v'inyan sod gadol. There's something in it being revealed that we never knew in our wildest dreams. Ki kfi pshat hadov, because if not for the sod, hashchina b'Yisrael tzorech hejot v'lo tzorech kavod. The Ramban has two concepts which are absolutely fundamentally different one from the other. There's something called the tzorech Hejot, and something called the Tzorech Gavoh. How would you interpret the word Litzorech? What do you say? for the need of, for the purpose of. How would you interpret Hegel? Speak up. Man, right, people. Gavoa, it's Almighty God. What's God's purpose? Is God's purpose man, the Jewish people, or is God's purpose Him Himself? There's a Rabban, Lefi Pshat, before we saw this pasuk of L'shachni V'socha, what's the answer? Is it L'tzor Hejer or L'tzor Kavoa? Whoa, Ezra, I didn't know you're such a genius. I would have said L'tzor Hejer. That God is interested in... Listen to what you're saying, Ezra. By definition, God is... How do you define God?
Good.
What else?
Infinite.
What else?
Awesome.
What else? You're missing the main word. God is perfect. He's awesome, He's great, He's good, He's this, He's that. He's infinite, omnipotent. He's perfect. That's the basic definition of Almighty God. What would you say about something or some being that's perfect? Do they have needs that have to be filled? Well, if they have needs, then they're not perfect. Do you follow what I'm saying? The fact that you have a need is because you're imperfect. I have to eat because I'm a physical being and I'm limited, etc., etc. And you give a million examples of that to demonstrate that. A perfect being has no need. To say Litzorech, that God has a need that has to be filled, and therefore Litzorech Gavah, He gave us the Mishkan so that He, with a capital H, can be Shochet Ishchina amongst us because He needs it. Litzorech Gavah, that's certainly not Pshat by any stretch. Are you with me, Ezra, on that? But Kamash Molon, this pasuk L'shachni V'socham teaches us a radical chiddush that we would never even have enunciated on our lips. That it's L'tzorech Gavah. But how do we understand that? How can we explain L'tzorech Gavah and at the same time understand that God is a perfect being? What does this mean, L'tzorech Gavah? So the Rabban calls it the Sod Gadol. Good. I'm not saying that we can understand when the Rabban used the word Sod. I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a wonderful translation of the Rabban by Otzko. It's got one major drawback. Anybody know?
It skips some parts.
It skips what? Which word? When it appears in the Rabban, which unfortunately appears too often from my perspective, of course I want to see the Otzko translation.
So
as soon as the word Sod comes up, you know, it's like on a computer. The word Sod shows up on the screen, the whole computer crashes. There's no article. This is beyond the scope of this elucidation. I know it by heart, because I've seen it dozens of times. They are absolutely allergic to the word Sod. So I'm also allergic to Sod, because what do I know about Sod? Who am I to even begin to dream, to understand and unravel the mysteries of the mystical, esoteric philosophies that the Rabban presents in his Pirush al Torah, when he says the word Sod? Who am I? You know, Rav Kaduri, you heard Rav Kaduri, he was the great Baba Sali. These people knew Sod. But I don't know anything about Sod. But I have to understand this al Pider Chapshat. On some level, we have to say, Ein Mikri Yotze V'Pshuto, that if the Torah is saying that God is declaring my goal is to preside and abide in your midst, and the Rabban calls that L'tzor Kavah, we have to understand what that means. At least on a simple level, because it's a pshat in a pasuk. Again, with all the calculations of spheros, you know, that I can't do. So I think, Rabosai, we have to learn two gemaras, they're both on the same page, in Masechta Kiddushin. It's all on Daf Zayin. Let me ask you a question. When a man marries a woman, this is a simple quiz question. Who gives whom money? He gives her money. Ki ka ki shisha, the money goes from him to her. Could the money go from him to someone else?
Yes.
And you know, anybody remember what that's called? That's called Eved Kenani. What's Eved Kenani? Eved Kenani means he's about to give her money, and she says, give the money to someone else. And when he, the Makadish, gives the money to a third party on her behest, on her request, bequest, is this such a word? on her request, then she's mekudeshes. It's as if she got the money. In other words, the halacha views kabbalas kesef as a concept which is not necessarily physical. You know, it's not the actual money going from Reuven to Leah. In this case, the money is going to go from Reuven to Shimon, and it's as if Leah got the money. Why? Because she told Reuven, give it to Shimon. Okay, that's cool. Mekudesh mi dinevet knan. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's called Mekudesh mi dinarav. Evet knan is a little bit more complicated. But okay, it doesn't matter. Then, there's another thing. Not only could the money go from Reuven to Shimon and Leah's Mekudeshes, the money could go from Leah to Reuven. And she's Mekudeshes to Reuven. That's a little strange, no? Anybody know what that's called? Right, you're right, it's Hanoah, but the sugi has a name to it, the baby has a name to it. That's called Adam Chashav. Do you remember this? So for example, if I send a gift to Prime Minister Harper, I'm not Canadian, but I deliberately avoided, you know, his American counterpart, because I don't think that what I'm about to say would apply in this case. We'll see after the elections, although I'm pretty down and out about that. I hope there's some true blue Republicans here in the audience that are with me for this. But anyway, so if you heard, any of you guys hear Prime Minister Harper? He's an unbelievable Oy of Yisrael. Goy Gomer, but such a chassid, I never saw. I wish our leaders in Israel would speak about Israel the way he does. And by the way, it hurts him politically, and he knows it. But he's a man of character. So if I would send a gift to Prime Minister Harper, as I'm sure many Canadians do, right? Let's say Harper has a birthday. I send him a gift. And he takes the gift, and he places it on his table. Yeah, I send him one of those things. What are those little things called? They have a name for it? You know, it's like a little ball. It's like for New York City. You know, you shake it up and the snow goes around. What is it called?
Snow globe.
Snow globe. Yeah. I sent him a snow globe, you know, from Harnof. Harnofian snow globe. And the Prime Minister himself, Bekvod HaVatzel, puts it on his desk. Right? So that's called what?
Hanok.
That's a tremendous Hanok. It's very paradoxical because she gave him the money, but she is so thrilled. She's dancing, you know, dancing in the air because he accepted and received her money, that she has a tremendous son. Why am I telling you all this? We're not learning Masechta the Kiddushin. How am I? We should. I don't know what they're learning here in the future after Pesach. The great Masechta the Kiddushin. What? No, I don't think so. I think they keep going. So the answer is because I think I have a clue as to what Litzorech Gavoah means. And I have here a sefer in front of me, which is called Sam Derech. I highly, highly recommend it. If you're in a bookstore and you have some bucks and you could afford it, it's 5 volumes, maybe even more, because I think on Shmos he has 2 volumes. Or it's by Reb Simcha Zissel Breider, he was the Rashid of Chevron Yeshiva, where my Bechutin learned and my son-in-law learned. And he has a commentary on Chumash. I would say 60% of his commentary is a commentary on the Ramban's Pirush Al HaTorah. And truth be told, is not that much on the Ramban Al HaTorah. So as soon as Artscroll packs out and says, this is beyond the scope of this elucidation, and you're scrambling around for some sefer to understand, to shed a light on the Ramban, there's not that much on the shelves. But this is excellent. So I want to quote to you, he has a powerful sentence here that I want to quote to you. He says the following. He says that Divrei HaRamban kan sosrim lidvarav bepirusho lemitzvah shiluach haken. If you take a look, I have another Ramban on this page. You see on the bottom of page 1. And the Ramban has a long discussion in Parshas Ki Tetzeh about the purpose of mitzvahs. You know, on the one hand, there's a commander-in-chief, Almighty God. On the other hand, there's his soldiers. You know, we are disciplined and we are going to fulfill his will and every command. We can implement the mitzvahs. Who would you say is benefiting? Right? If I am a servant of a master, so who benefits from the service of the servant? The master, right? Says Rabban. Heaven forbid to say such. You are misunderstanding the whole purpose. You are completely distorting the purpose of Torah and mitzvahs if you think that God benefits from our mitzvahs. He says the following. What's the lomer? Ein ha-to'elus b'mitzvahs la-kodesh baruch hu b'yatzmo yisal. Are you following the inside? It's important that you see the text because you'll get familiar with the Rabban's language. He says, ha-to'elus b'adam atzmo. The purpose and the goal of mitzvahs is for man's benefit. Limno ha-mimenu nezek. To prevent him from damage. Well, that's good for Masechta Bava Masra, right? Oh, emuna ra. Oh, mida maguna. Oh, liskar anisim v'niflos ha-bori yisparach v'ladas Hashem. All this is for the benefit of man. And that's why Chazal say, lo nitna Torah mitzvah l'tzarech ben ha-sabrios. To purify man. Zeh l'tzarech ben. Shiyu ki kesef tzor. Right? Metal in its natural form has all sorts of impurities mixed in. So we do a purification process, and that's what the mitzvahs are all about. Hatziruf ha-kesef ein maaseh b'lo tam. When you mitzarif kesef to remove impurities, that's not meaningless, that's very meaningful. Lahotzi ben kol siyah. V'chol ha-mitzvos, lahotzi b'libeinu kol emunah ra lo dienu ha-emes l'zokro tamid. He quotes a famous tanchuma. I don't know if you're familiar with this tanchuma. You know, people go into all sorts of explanations why the Torah required shechita. Maybe it's for the benefit of the animal. I don't know. Who knows what? So the Medrash says, what does God care whether I shecht it, whether I eat it when it dies, whether I pluck it, like this and that? What difference is it? Ma ichpas lo bein ochel tahoros, ochel tmeos. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishle. And other psukim. Hine says the Rabban, the first Bekan, you see the Chazal say explicitly, means he, Almighty God, gets no benefit, it makes no difference to him. It's not like he's imperfect and he needs our mitzvahs, chas v'shalom. She's tarich la'ora. For example, we light the menorah in the Migdash. Does it mean God needs our light? Does God need our karbonis to eat our sacrifices? And to smell these smells? You might misunderstand that, but that's a misnomer. A misnomer. It's a bad error. Here, we'll skip down again. If you have a chance, we don't have time now, but go through the whole Ramban. In the last 2.5 lines, he says, in Cain, kulam l'tol aseinu v'vad. He summarizes the whole presentation by saying all the mitzvahs, from the beginning to the end, soup to nuts, they're all for our purposes. And he quotes a pasuk in Iyov, im chatasa matifal bo, if you sin, what do you think? It has an impact on God? When your sins, as Paul emphasizes, it does something to God? V'rob pshach matasalo, and even if you have a terrible amount of pshayim, What can you do to God? You can't impact on God. And so too in the positive sense. Your mitzvahs don't impact on God in the positive sense. So how can the Ramban say here at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh that the purpose of God's divine purpose is litzorech gavoah when he himself in Parshas Ki Tetzeh in the midst of Shiluach HaKan has this whole presentation lafuki to exclude anyone who come along and say that God has benefits. It's all for man's benefit. The whole Torah and all the mitzvahs is for man. So what's Tzor Kavon? So the Rosh Yeshiva has a breakthrough. And he says the following. He says, Kol Tachlis HaBriya. He has many sources for this. I'm just reading the bottom line. The whole purpose of creation, Haisa, Kidei Loseis Ulahanik Oneg V'Hatova L'Bneyot. There's no question about it, and that's what's reflected in the Rabbanik Hitetze. The goal and the purpose of creation is for the benefit of man. God wants to benefit man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chatzah V'Gov Tuma V'Chazda. But God wanted, in his great goodness, in his love of man, lorak shenosei matnas chinam, not just to give and bestow upon man gifts, gratis, bracha v'chol tov, all the blessings, and then man receives them and feels a little embarrassed about them. Elahosif v'kafal loseis tovu bracha gdola mizu. God added another tovu. Not only is God going to create man and provide for man, but more than that, he's going to create a situation, kaviyochol, shehu maskim lekabel matonam ibnei adam. God's greatest chesed is that he agrees to receive, in inverted commas, to receive man's gift. That's the greatest benefit that man can get from God. Which halacha are we implementing now? Well, we say that God receives man's gift and he's giving man. God doesn't need that gift, but it's as if he needs it. He makes believe as if he received them. It's like, remember the case of a Kudeshus Midin Arev. You know, you give the money to so-and-so, and it's as if I received it. God says, you know, you do the mitzvahs, I'm not really receiving your mitzvahs. I'm not receiving your shiros and tishbachos. I'm not receiving your karbonos, your rech nichoach, anything. But, you know what? I'll make believe, says God, for the benefit of man, as if I received it. How does that benefit man? Which halacha kicks in? Adam Chashav. What could be greater than sending a gift to Almighty God Himself and He receives it? That's what the Bria is all about. Hashem says, I'm going to bestow, I'm going to bestow. I'm going to ask you to do the following, fulfill my will, and bring me karbonos, bring me shiro v'tishbachos, and it's as if I received it. For us, for our benefit, there's a kabbal. What do you say, Yoshua?
What does that mean exactly?
What it means is that God says your avoda as a fulfillment of my will with a capital W is meaningful. That itself is the greatest gift that God can give man. That he sees our service to him as meaningful. Because since God is perfect, you would say that our avoda, our service from God's perspective is meaningless. It doesn't add anything to Almighty God. Hashem says no. It's meaningful. I'll read it again. Kaviyochol hu maskim lekabel matanos mibnei adam. So when we sing praises to God, or when we do God's mitzvahs and fulfill His will, then God receives that. Again, it's only kaviyochol. It's not really that He receives anything. God doesn't need it and receive anything. But God says to man, do it, and it's meaningful. As if you gave me something. And man has the greatest pleasure that you can imagine on a spiritual level, that he gave something to God, and God received it. What greater than Adam Chashuv could there be?
He's faking it.
Correct. Correct. In order to reconcile the two Rambans, on the one hand, the Ramban says that God doesn't need anything, and our mitzvahs don't add anything to Him; they're only for our benefit. And on the other hand, to say that it's litzar kavah, the answer is that God says you're doing something which is litzar kavah. What are you doing? You're building me a house. Oh yeah, God needs a house. You know what I mean? Like Noah, how long can you tread wood? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you mean you need a house? God needs a house? Or just, it's raining outside, so God needs a roof? Like, what's it all about? Stuff, what's the answer? God says, you know, do it for me. It's as if you did it for me. I mean, what do you mean do it for me? God needs it. When I say to you, Yaakov, do me a favor. You know what? I want you to join my shir in the afternoon. Once a week, we can have a shir. Come, do it for me. That makes sense, right? The person wants you to be there. I do it for me. But what is God, when God says, do it for me, Torkavah, what does that mean? It's meaningless, do it for me. The answer is God says, let's create a structure. Again, the deeper meaning, as I told you before, that's already in soap. That's already in mysticism. How the Mishkan works, and it's spheres, and what does mean the Shekhinah, what's the Shekhinah, Tzimtzum, all this stuff is way beyond our understanding. But one thing I can tell you, that God is saying, build me a house. Build me a sanctuary. I will dwell therein. It's meaningful. That Kabbalah is the greatest chesed that God can give man. Because it gives man the tainum, beyond belief, that we human beings can do something. Could give a gift, kaviyot Hashem, and he receives it. Does he benefit from it? Ridiculous. Does he need it? Chas v'shalom. But it's a tzor kavod in the sense that it's an action that's done to fulfill his will. He says, do it for me. When we do it, what infinite pleasure do we get out of the fact that he accepts our gift?
What about
the Wolfsassers? Same thing with Wolfsassers. You know, what difference does it make whether I don't say I would say I, but you know, somebody out there, you know, he bows down to an idol. God gets angry. What does that mean, God gets angry? Well, what difference does it make? But God says this is meaningful. This is a violation of my will. I want to read you another. I know we don't have much time, but just in the few minutes that we have, he says the following. He says that not only man has the ability to sing praise to Almighty God, because God commanded us to do so, and when we finish eating, we make benching, and when we every morning we say Kadosh, 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 and when Makati Shem Shemayim, it's more than that. He proves from Midrashim that the entire universe depends upon our Shira. Even the Malach HaShoretz will not open up with their Kedusha until man does. Kasher Odo Meshabech Ladon HaOlam, when man praises God, the master of the universe, Kol HaBriya Potachas Achra V'Shira V'Sheva. Again, there's a whole long discussion how that works. In other words, man was given the reins and the control over the entire Bria insofar as Shir and Shevach is concerned. What an unbelievable chesed is that God says, I'm going to appoint you as my officers in my king's court. You're going to sing my praise. You're going to control the entire universe. And all the praise of the entire globe, of the entire universe, is generated by our praise. And listen to this pasuk in Yeshaya. You remember this pasuk? Am zu yatzarti li tilasi yisaperu. I have created this nation and they will sing my praise. It means God designates one nation on the face of the earth, one people, for the purpose of tehillah, of singing praise. And that nation, once it sings praise, has an impact on the entire universe. This is the epitome, the apex of chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, the wonderful chesed that Hashem does for us. That He creates for us a nesina, and from His point, from His perspective, a Kabbalah. What greater pleasure could we have than we give and He takes? Like it says, Tnu Ozel Kim. And in that sense, God giving us the possibility, or any created being, the possibility of receiving some sort of a gift, kaviyachol, from man. For example, you remember the Nusach Sfarad for Kedusha on Musaf? I don't know if any of you daven in any Nusach Sfarad, maybe. Or amongst the Sfaradim, how do they start Musaf? Kedusha for Musaf. You don't have Keter Yidnucha? You do. Did you ever stop and listen to what you're saying? Keter Yidnucha? Man crowns Almighty God? Ridiculous. It's almost like Apikorsis to say such a thing. What does it mean, man who's respected us, here today, God tomorrow? In the cosmos, he doesn't even register. I mean, again, if he registers in college, so his name is somewhere in there, right? You know, and when they give out the diplomas at the end of graduation, you know, you saw that. But who are you in the whole universe, which is endless? And you're going to stand up and say, Keter Yidnucha? Man gives God a crown? In Lubavitch, for example, in Hasidut Chabad, the concept of blowing the shofar is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shofar represents the people blowing for the king and giving him, the king, the state of Melech, the status of a Melech. Most ridiculous thing in the world. I'm holding on to this little ram's horn, not very melodious, if you ask me. And I'm giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu the status of the Melech? But God needs me to be Mamlechim? It's all, you hear this, Yaakov, it's all operating with this mechanism of you give me something and I'll make believe I received it, even though I didn't. And once I received it, you get tremendous benefit from me because I gave it. So again, to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has any tzorech or toelos in our mitzvahs, or the fact that Klal Yisrael are Meshabeach or are Mevorech as Hashem, that's impossible. But rather the essence and the goal of our mitzvahs and our shir v'shevach is for us. It's the Torah L'tzarch Adam, as the Ramban reflects it at the end of Parshas Ki Tetzeh. And it's a double posh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no need, has no dependency on our avodah, nor on our mishkan. But what the Ramban is saying here, that we say the whole goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we know and we appreciate, we acknowledge God, that itself is the greatest gift that Hashem is giving us. He's giving us the possibility of an intimate relation with Him, with a capital H, through the Mishkan, and that itself facilitates man's ability to kaviyochel give to Hashem, and Hashem receiving, and that great benefit. And perhaps this is what it means when it says in Chazal that in the future, at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will crown the tzaddikim with the same crown that they crowned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, when we daven to Hashem and we accept Almighty God as our King, that kingship, that hamlachas Hashem, is going to be the same spiritual element that ultimately will be granted to us at the end of days. We'll get back to that same Atara when it says Tzadikim Yoshim Vetrosem Roshem V'Nenem Yisim Vashchina, that we gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, we emphasize that this concept of giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on this kaviyochel reception that Hashem receives. He's makabel it, and that in that sense we give it to Hashem. All right, we'll stop here.